WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Lopez for Liberty Report with your host, Claire Lopez. Claire has served as a member of the Citizens Commission on Benghazi and continues among the members of its successor organization, the Citizens Commission on National Security. She's formerly vice president of the Intelligence Summit. She was a career operations officer with the Central Intelligence Agency, a professor at the Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies, and executive director of the Iran Policy Committee from 2005 to 2006. She's also served as a consultant and intelligence analyst and researcher for a variety of defense firms. Already an advisor to EMP Act America, she has also been named a member of the Congressional Task Force on National and Homeland Security. Claire has been a visiting researcher and guest lecturer on counterterrorism, national defense, and international relations at Georgetown University. She's the author of the book, The Rise of the Iran Lobby, Sharia, the Threat to America, and The Secure Freedom Strategy, a Plan for Victory Over the Global Jihad. And now, here is your host, Claire Lopez.
Back again, this is Claire Lopez, Lopez Liberty LLC. We are now at the fourth segment of our 12-part Hezbollah series, and this one will be Hezbollah in Lebanon. What kind of work, what kind of operations, what kind of initiatives does Hezbollah pursue in the place where it was founded and the place, Lebanon, where it first originally set its sights on achieving dominance. So Hezbollah in Lebanon, segment four. Now, today, and on this slide, you see the flags, the flag of Lebanon with the beautiful cedar of Lebanon in the middle of it there. Hezbollah completely dominates Lebanese politics with its presence in parliament and a veto-proof, that is veto-proof Hezbollah presence in the cabinet as well. Moreover, Hezbollah dominates both Lebanon's domestic and foreign policy in total synchrony with Iran and with the Damascus regime of Bashar al-Assad. Finally, Hezbollah's military machine is far superior in training, in weapons, to Lebanon's own national army. And this is, of course, because of, thanks to, Iranian sponsorship and provision of many of those weapons. Now, we have seen this slide before, but it bears repeating. This is Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah. The flag of Hezbollah, of course, in the upper right-hand corner of this slide, the Lebanese flag up to the left. And here is Hassan Nasrallah speaking some years ago in 2013, and he says, "A government, meaning in Lebanon, without Hezbollah will never be formed." And here we are with that complete domination achieved inside of Lebanon. Remember, Hezbollah was formed in the early 1980s. We are now here in February of 2020, and Hezbollah has completely achieved that objective of domination of Lebanon politically, domestically, and in foreign policy besides. How did they do that? Well, in part, they did it as an outgrowth of the horrific 1975 to 1990 civil war inside of Lebanon. They did it through brute force, terror. The most serious, probably, political and otherwise threat to the dominance of Hezbollah inside of Lebanon probably was posed by this politician, Rafik Hariri, whom you see in the photograph here, dating back to years before his 2005 assassination, here in a photo with Hassan Nasrallah. And so, yes, in 2005, February 2005, Rafik Hariri and many of his closest advisors were killed in a massive roadside bomb attack against his convoy, against his car, as it drove through the streets of Beirut in Lebanon. And that eliminated the most serious Sunni side political threat to the rise and ultimate dominance of the Shiite Hezbollah operation. Militarily speaking, Hezbollah dominates Lebanon and is, as I've said, way, way far stronger and more capable than the Lebanese army itself. Hezbollah fields the best trained, the strongest, the best armed, equipped military in Lebanon. And again, that is thanks to Iran. On the other side of the ledger, we may note that the United States sends military equipment and funding to Lebanese armed forces, but it does not begin to make up for or to bring the Lebanese armed forces up to a par with where Hezbollah is at. Again, we have emphasized over and over again in this series the chain of command from Hezbollah up through the Quds Force, IRGC, into Iran's senior leadership. Here bearing this out is the telecommunications system that links Hezbollah in Lebanon directly to that top-level leadership in Iran by way, again, through Quds Force and the IRGC. There is, though, a fiber optic network for telecommunications between Lebanon and Iran that keeps them in a close, tight, continuous communication. I will just say that they have suffered losses. Hezbollah has suffered losses, not just on Syrian battlefields, fighting against the rebels, many of them Muslim Brotherhood rebels, rising up against the Damascus regime of Bashar al-Assad, but also fighting against the Islamic State. Originally, its name was Islamic State in Iraq and al-Sham. Al-Sham basically means Greater Syria, not just the rump state of Syria we have today, but the greater geographical area of Greater Syria, that's al-Sham. But since June of 2014, that name is OBE, and the organization is called from that point onwards Islamic State. Why? Because its presence spread far beyond Iraq and al-Sham globally now today. So let's mention very quickly the presence of UNIFIL troops, United Nations troops, inside of Lebanon that were posted there in the wake of that horrific, again, civil war 1975 to 1990 that tore Lebanon apart. The UN sent representative troop forces into Lebanon ostensibly to help maintain the peace, but also supposedly to disarm all the militias that had been a party to that civil war. Well, other militias were disarmed under these provisions of the United Nations, but not Hezbollah. Hezbollah was never disarmed. And instead, it was rearmed and increasingly well-armed by Iran over the years. And that is why it is the dominant military force in Lebanon today. And the United Nations forces, drawn from many different countries, many of them Western European, but other places too, are completely outgunned, overwhelmed by Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so they've often turned a blind eye to Hezbollah military activities, be it the transfer of weaponry that they're not supposed to be getting to upgrade their military capabilities, or whether it be military operations, actual operations launched out of Lebanon against, let's say, Israel. Blind eye turned by the United Nations forces to such operations by Hezbollah. And in fact, they've even paid them off. That is, Hezbollah has paid off the UN forces not to hold them to account, not to counter the Hezbollah military operations. All right, let's look at the organization of Hezbollah's executive council inside of Lebanon and how that operates there. Now, that council, the executive council of Hezbollah inside of Lebanon, oversees all of its daily operations inside of Lebanon and Lebanese society. As you see here, it covers cultural, educational, political, social affairs. And we will talk about four, at least, of these different units that have responsibility for those sectors or spheres of Lebanese society: the education unit, information and media unit, social and finance units. So here is a diagram that I put together, but as you can see with the source attribution where I got my information from posted on this slide. But this is just a rough sort of a little org chart of that service sector. So let's begin with that of Hezbollah inside of Lebanon. Now, the education unit element of that coordinates the multifaceted system of Hezbollah schools inside of Lebanon. I've named some of those school systems here, the Al-Mahdi, the Al-Mustafa, the Al-Baltul schools. There is the Islamic Foundation for Education and Teaching, which provides scholarships and financial aid to needy Lebanese Shiite students, in particular those belonging to Hezbollah loyal families. Hezbollah also runs higher learning institutions. Some of those might be vocational schools, religious seminaries for sure, and also cultural institutions that would disseminate Hezbollah ideology throughout Lebanese, particularly Shiite society, and to maintain that commitment throughout the life of what, you know, begins as a young student on up as they move through the school system to the higher ranks. Now, among youth activities that Hezbollah runs inside of Lebanon, prominent among these are the Imam al-Mahdi Scouts. This is a scout system for young boys, for young men. And it's a conveyor belt for those young boys as they move up through the ranks of the scouts, eventually intended for them to join Hezbollah's actual fighting ranks. There's also a female component or counterpart to that, the Female Guides Association. But their mission is to inculcate in the young girls as they grow up Islamic values and the religious observations, meaning attendance at mosque. And then their role ultimately is intended to convey modesty and to keep the religious observations, like we have said, in the mosques, the prayers, the daily prayers, Quran reading, readings, and daily Quran readings and fasting. And then, of course, ultimately to pass those values on to their children. That is the role for the women. Let's talk about Hezbollah sports mobilization within Lebanese society. Hezbollah uses sports, especially among the young people, to prepare them in terms of physical fitness and also skill sets for future fighting roles in the ranks of Hezbollah. So physical fitness, of course, is promoted through competition, gym programs, all kinds of different races, sporting camps, teams, tournaments. Soccer, of course, as you might imagine, is especially popular, but also many other kinds of sports that will include things like archery and gun clubs and the like. Let's talk about Hezbollah's media empire. We're moving very quickly through some of these, and there's a lot more information that can be had online, but this is just to give you a bit of an idea, an overview of the totality with which Hezbollah dominates Lebanese society and abroad and further out. So in terms of the media empire, of course, Al-Manar is the flagship media outlet for Hezbollah, both inside of Lebanon and throughout the Middle East area, going as far afield as North Africa. Al-Manar, of course, broadcasts in Arabic, English, French, also Spanish, interestingly, as we will be talking about the Hezbollah influence in the Western Hemisphere and in particular in Latin America in segments to come. And so the empire, if you will, that is led, if you will, by Al-Manar has many other elements, outlets, very advanced, very technologically advanced, cutting edge. It includes TV, of course, telephone, radio, the press, satellite communication throughout Lebanon and further abroad. Very sophisticated, as I've said. They have a cyber capability for internal use, external and pro-Iran publications and broadcasting, indoctrination and propaganda is what that is for. The budget of Al-Manar alone is in the tens of millions, or at least perhaps I should say it was, when that funding flowed freely from Iran. Perhaps it has been somewhat curtailed now under pressure of President Trump's maximum pressure campaign, and the financial sanctions. Let's look at just one or two of the other media outlets of Hezbollah inside of Lebanon. And here we have Al-Madain TV. This is the Pan-Arab for the Arabic-speaking audience, satellite TV broadcast system of Hezbollah that broadcasts out of Lebanon and throughout the Middle East, and as I've said, over onto North Africa as well. It is Hezbollah's sort of answer, if you will, Arabic language, but Iran axis, counterpart to Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, those kinds of networks. Al-Madain TV is headquartered in South Beirut and also has regional offices throughout the Middle East and North Africa. It broadcasts 24/7 with all kinds of news and special programming, of course, always geared to pro-Hezbollah messaging, pro-Iran messaging. There is also a radio and an internet component to Al-Madain TV. And they also broadcast documentaries, as you can imagine, heroic profiling of Hezbollah's resistance axis, as they would call it. Here is just a quick list, a page full, of some of Hezbollah's other media outlets. And again, as you can see, they're geared to various age groups. For example, let's look at Taha TV, which is geared to children, with children and also teen kind of programming. But again, always emphasizing that Shiite history, Shiite values, but told through the medium of cartoons and kids shows, for example. And then we have these other ones that are broadcast, again, throughout the Arabic-speaking Middle East and North Africa region. All right, let's look at the labor segment of Lebanese society, where Hezbollah is very active among the syndicates and the unions. They have a unit for that, and Hezbollah is tasked with providing guidance and supervision to all kinds of professional associations. They might be engineering associations or medical associations or lawyers associations. In every section, sphere of Lebanese professional society, there is a corresponding Hezbollah presence to maintain the narrative, the line of inculcation and propaganda. And that is throughout Lebanese society. Let's look at a very large and important segment of Hezbollah's efforts inside of Lebanese society, and that would be what we might call its social jihad. So that has to do with social welfare. I mean, let's remember that Hezbollah arose out of what they themselves perceived themselves as the underclass or the oppressed class of poor Shiites in southern Lebanon. Of course, has grown quite a bit from there since then. But social welfare has always been a strong emphasis for Hezbollah, and it's part of the way that they acquire and then keep allegiance throughout, especially the poorer segments of Lebanese society. And so they have this massive network of welfare recruiting and training programs for the youth and for others throughout Lebanese society. Highly organized system of charity and welfare, again, to the poorer elements of Lebanese society. and so the social unit of Hezbollah oversees all of this. And in particular, the aid is aimed, the welfare kind of support is aimed first and foremost at Hezbollah's own families. In other words, the families of its fighters, of its loyalists, of its supporters. And then within that group, especially to take care of the injured and the fallen of Hezbollah fighters, wherever that might have happened, whether on Syrian battlefields or against the Israelis or wherever else. Among their projects will include things like in the post period of time after the 2006 war with Israel, Hezbollah was in particular, through this social unit, active in the rebuilding process to repair war-damaged homes, to build clinics and hospitals, schools, mosques, to develop infrastructure, electricity, water, roads, and that sort of thing. This builds not only a stronger and more cohesive base of support for Hezbollah, but also enables it to acquire, as I've said before, and retain the loyalty of the people that are helped through these programs. So again, they have built, and this is absolutely true, and they will emphasize this in their propaganda. They do build clinics. They do build orphanages. They run summer camps, youth organizations of all kinds. But here's the thing. When organizations abroad, let's say NGOs or, you know, charitable organizations located perhaps in Western Europe, think that they are donating to the charitable wing of Hezbollah, thinking of these orphanages and clinics and so forth, let's remember, cash is fungible. And any money that is spent on such endeavors, charitable, if you will, organizations, endeavors of Hezbollah, is money that it is then freed up by Hezbollah to spend on their military. So that is the point here on that. This is just an illustration on this page of what they call collection boxes, which stand on street corners in many places throughout Lebanon, in particular this one here and others in Beirut itself. And these are just little money boxes into which the ordinary citizen, the passerby, the pedestrian might drop a coin or two. This is a very lucrative way for Hezbollah to collect at least some funding inside of Lebanon from its loyal supporters. I want to turn here now next to the institution of the Maronite Catholic Church, because this is so important inside of Lebanon and abroad, including here in the United States. So again, referring back to that horrific civil war 1975 to 1990 inside of Lebanon that pitted Christian militias, Shiite militias, Sunni militias against one another in a vicious war that lasted 15 years. The Christians were among the less powerful, among the least numerous of these militias throughout Lebanon. Population shifts over the years have not favored the Christians. Sunnis, both Sunnis and Shiites, have increased their numbers in a lot greater significance than the Christians. So they're outnumbered, they're outgunned. They were really getting hit hard during that civil war. And as a result of that, they turned to the Shiites. The Christians in Lebanon turned to Hezbollah for support, basically for protection. And it worked. The patriarch of the Maronite Catholic Church in Lebanon is, as you see here, Patriarch Bechara Boutros, and he is also a cardinal of the Catholic Church at the same time, Rai, R-A-I, or sometimes Rai, pronounced. He was made a cardinal in the Catholic Church. The Maronite Catholic Church of Lebanon is under the Vatican. Patriarch of that church, Rai, was named a cardinal by Pope Benedict back in, I think it was about 2012, within the Catholic Church, within the Vatican. But because of his, Patriarch Cardinal Rai's, close collaborative relationship with Hezbollah inside of Lebanon, he is sometimes and often called the Hezbollah Patriarch. That's just what they call him, the Hezbollah Patriarch, because of those close collaborative ties to Hezbollah inside of Lebanon. Again, that goes back to the Civil War. Now, the cardinal, the patriarch, Boutros Rai, is pictured in photographs that may be found all over the internet simply by searching, in photographs For example, with the president of Iran, here pictured is Michel Aoun. Michel Aoun formerly was General Michel Aoun, and he led the Christian militia forces and indeed the entire Maronite Catholic community of Lebanon during the war, during the civil war. But it was he, it was President, now President Michel Aoun, who forged that very close post-war relationship with Hezbollah. And so here we see Michel Aoun in one photograph clasping hands with Patriarch Rai, who, by the way, Michel Aoun was the Hezbollah choice for president, and their backing, politically speaking, makes all the difference in Lebanon. So here he is clasping hands with Patriarch Rai in one photo, and then in the other photo we see him side by side in a smiling photo together with the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. Now, Michel Aoun and Hezbollah back in February 2006, that is now 14 years ago, as we speak here in February 2020, forged a called a paper of understanding, essentially an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, if you will, that governs the relationship between the Maronite Catholic community of Lebanon and Hezbollah to this day. Now, here is a group photo, just to go on with these various photos to be found online, a group photo that features Patriarch Rai and members of a Hezbollah delegation and others in this group photo. But those pictured in this photo from the Hezbollah delegation that was meeting with the Maronite Catholic Church leadership, those Hezbollah leadership figures were senior officials from the Hezbollah Political Council. And I think that is significant to note. Again, another photograph dating back to 2014 in this one, and it is of senior members of the Maronite Catholic Church in Lebanon, together with, again, senior members of Hezbollah. Now, here indeed, again, is the patriarch himself, Cardinal Boutros Rai, and he more recently, December 2016, in this photo, is meeting with a very senior Hezbollah delegation led by the Politburo head of the Hezbollah Politburo here, Sayed Ibrahim Amin al-Sayed, and others who came in that delegation, just to show you the closeness of that relationship between the Maronite Catholic Church in Lebanon and Hezbollah. We will talk more about how that is significant for the United States, which of course, as we know, has both a Hezbollah cell presence and as well a presence of many Maronite Catholic churches throughout the country in the United States. We'll return to this theme in some of our future segments. This 12-part series on Hezbollah. This is Claire Lopez, Lopez Liberty, LLC. Again, on Twitter, at Claire M. Lopez, on Facebook, also my name, and email, claire@theunitedwest.org. Thank you very much.